top of the morning to you. Hello, this is your girl, you know, Fabulous Frida, always your host here to bring you the most on WDGS, What Did God Say podcast radio station. That's right. There's been a lot of shifting, a lot of changing, and now Spotify has completely merged out Anchor. And initially, when I started 6 years ago doing podcasts, it was strictly Anchor that was owned by Spotify. But now Spotify has set up to where all the platforms of Anchor must now be converted. How many of you understand change? Change can come sometime when we least expect it. Change can happen in such a way we're not prepared for even to make a change. And then there are changes just like with this podcast transition over to the parent company, which is Spotify. You have to learn new things, and they've created new ways even in order to go into your recording studio and record. But I want to share with you something that is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore that does not change, and that is God and His Word. Well, I hope somebody grabbed this. When you get in that place and position with God in His Word, He say His Word does not change. This is what Christ said. In Christ's teaching, He said, "My Word is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore." He wanted the people that He was teaching and talking and telling to understand that what I'm saying, no matter what happens in your generation and thousands of years from now, what is being written and what is being said will stand. It will stick and it will stay. Now I want to talk to you about a profound chapter for me. And let me just say for me. Throughout the entire Bible, and I want to use that word because we no longer read it from the scrolls. I was recently asked the question, what does Bible mean to me? And I want to pose the same question to you on this podcast today. What is the meaning of the word Bible to you? And in my response to the question, I said, well, you know what? I never actually defined what does the Bible mean? But I can tell you what I created by the Holy Spirit, because you know the Holy Spirit teach, leads, and guides us into all truth. What the Holy Spirit taught, led, and guided me one day was to sit down and write the words B-I-B-L-E and take some acronyms from the letters to create a meaning for myself. I said to the person, and in that meaning of the acronym, what I was given as a meaning through acronyms, Biblical Instructions Before Leaving Earth. That's what Bible is for me. Biblical Instructions Before Leaving Earth. To my amaze, the response from the individual was, that's similar to what the man that asked the question on the bus said. He asked the question to one person and he asked to me, and neither of us answered. And his answer was similar because they said they could only remember living eternal. The last two letters. They couldn't remember what was said before, but they do remember the word living and eternal. Now, the reason I'm sharing this with you, because when you look at the Bible, it should be with meaning. When you study the Bible, it should be with meaning. When you quote a scripture, it should be with meaning. When you encourage someone through the scripture, it should be with meaning. The Bible clearly defines by saying, God's word will not return void, but it will accomplish what it is sent to do. Now, the Bible is converted to the Bible, because I say it to the person, because it was put in print and converted off the scroll. Y'all got to grab this. The Bible wasn't always called the Bible. What it was called was the Word of God. Oh, I hope somebody grabbed this. When people used to read from the scrolls, oh God, help me today. Before the print came into print, before King James, this man named King James took words from the scrolls and he converted it. Well, actually, he didn't convert it. Let me correct myself. He was talking with another person. Now, this is based upon what other theologies have came up, whether it's a fact or a theory, I don't know. But the way the story goes historically is that there was a man that approached King James, and he asked King James about printing the information he received from the scrolls and converting it into what we now consider as the Bible. This man knew that King James could afford to help him. It's just like if somebody came to you and you had this great idea, but you didn't have the money. And you asked the person to help fund this idea. And instead of them taking their money and funding your idea, they take your idea and they fund it with their own money. That is what historically is said that happened with King James. This is how King James received the credit for printing the Bible as we know, considered as the Bible. He took the information from someone else. I don't know if it was Wycliffe, and he could afford to print the information. Therefore, he put it in print and he put his name on it. Now, back to the fact that the Bible, because I don't want you to get caught up in anything other than understanding, is the breath of God's written word, inspired. He gave it to people that was inspired, and they wrote it on the scrolls. Now, out of all the writings, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and Galatians chapter 5 is to me among the top profound transformations of any teaching throughout the Bible. And I can tell you that's to me. Let me make sure you clearly understand I said to me. 1 Corinthians 13 chapter and Galatians chapter 5. Why are those two of the most significant books in the Bible to me? Is because they sum up what all of us need to know to get to heaven or go to hell. Oh, I hope somebody heard that. Let me repeat that. They summarize what we need to do to go to heaven or go to hell. Especially when Paul writes Galatians chapter 5. Now that brings me to the core of this message. The works of the flesh. When you look at chapter 5 in Galatians, that's in the New Testament, it's the fifth chapter of the epistle to the Galatians in the New Testament of what is considered the Christian Bible. The author of Galatians is Apostle Paul. And Paul wrote letters to the churches in Galatians. And he wrote these letters between AD 49 and 58. And this AD means after the death of Christ. The chapters contain a discussion about how the fruit of the Holy Spirit should be activated in our lives. That's the way to get into heaven. It also discusses, before it gets to the fruit of the Spirit, is the works of the flesh. Now, Paul makes clear for everybody to understand how to stand fast. In chapter 5, it says to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Liberty means freedom, by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Now, a yoke of bondage is when you got something tied around your life that has you bound. You're not free just as long as you exercise and execute any works of the flesh. Oh, I hope somebody grabbed this. He goes on and he tells the people, whether you either circumcised or uncircumcised, you must understand the importance of the power to be free. Circumcised mean when things are removed from your skin in your flesh. Uncircumcised mean when you still let those things in your flesh make decisions for you. Oh, I hope somebody grabbed this. This is why I am an avid preacher, teacher, talker, however you want to put me, on people's feelings. That's a lot of times, see, people's feelings are generated from the allegories of things that they have read and they have seen. Because that's all allegory means. It means it's a visible or written thing that you perceive to be a certain way. So when you look at the allegory of Galatians chapter 5, how do you perceive it? Well, for me, it's the chapter that tells us what we need to do to go to hell. Oh, God, help me today. Or what we need to do to stay out of hell. And that, to me, is mostly profound. But as Paul goes on to talk about in living in the Spirit, with gratifying the desires of your flesh, he tells us those are two opposing ways of living. You have to understand you're either going to be led by the flesh or led by the Holy Spirit. When you are led by the flesh, Scripture has given us indicators that means we got caught in our feelings. And the flesh and the spirit wars against one another. This is why I'm always depicting and looking to see who get in their feelings. And I can tell you, when you tell people the truth, oh God, help me today, you can really literally see and know just how much meaning of the truth people really embrace. Because when people get in their feelings, they don't want to embrace the real raw truth. They want you to sugarcoat it. They want you to pacify them. They want you to keep giving them milk, even though in the bottle, let me add that, it's nothing wrong with drinking milk. But when you still need to suck it from a bottle, and you 50 years old, and you 40 years old, in my perception and opinion, and listen, it may not mean a hill of beans to you. It's something wrong with that. When you have not progressed and grown. I was sharing with someone some other things earlier. in the week. And one of the things they said to me was where they was perplexed, because they said all these grown-ups, and I'm quote unquote this person, they said all these grown-ups that you would think by now would have grown more than what they have grown. They said their perplexity was watching these grown-ups, even from their perception as a kid, they are still stuck and stagnated in the same place. And they asked me the question, why is that, unquote? And I said, well, you know, some people, just because they grow old, that don't mean they have growth. Oh, I hope somebody grabbed this. I said to them, I have seen many of people that stayed stuck throughout their lives, and they left here stuck because they live off their feelings. This is why I continue to advocate about staying at your feelings. Your feelings is nothing but generations from your flesh. And I hope somebody grabbed that, because that's a deep revelation. When I say generations from your flesh, that mean a lot of this stuff, how people act, you know, they like to say, well, they daddy act like that, they act like that, they mama act like that, they act like that. Well, you know, it's a family curse. It's a generational curse. And this is how everybody used to do things and act. That's what they saying. That I get to use my flesh to act the same way my daddy did, my mama did, my cousin did, my aunties did, whomever in the family that didn't act right and act up and act out. The person in the modern day time that's still living is literally saying, I get to act the same way. And then they call it a generational curse. But I am a firm believer. I personally don't believe in such nonsense when you become a believer of God. I'm not saying that generational curses cannot, all that means is the same nasty, toxic, tainted behavior of other people in your family. You adopted it and you stuck with it. You didn't grow to learn better, to do better. Oh, God, help me today. But my perception of that is, I said to somebody, even in our family, that said a comment to me and said, well, you know, that spirit of stubbornness and this and that, that's a generational thing in our family. And I said, no, I respectfully beg to differ, because it's not on me. Because I don't live in my feelings. I live off of facts. I live off of the truth. I live off of God's written word that came from the scrolls. And whatever his word instructs me to do, that's what I do. And therefore, God's word instructs me to even love my enemies. Hello. To pray for those who wrongfully persecute me and despitefully use me. Oh, God, help me today. To bless those that curse me. That's what I do. Now, people in their family can choose the opposite, because they mama them did it, they daddy them did it, and they get stuck and stagnated in, because if they daddy didn't forgive folks, then they don't forgive folks. If they mama cussed out folks, then they feel like they should cuss out folks. I'm just saying, that's not to me a generational curse. That's a decision. As long as you in your conscience and your right mind. And the only person I believe, and I talk about that in one of my books, you have to go through a deliverance. And no matter what everybody else in your family do, no matter what everybody else in your family end up having genetically, my Bible said, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I'm healed. Just because everybody else in the family was diagnosed with cancer don't mean I have to believe that I'm going to have it, because it's generational. Just because Uncle Bobo would always act up and act out out every time there's a get together don't mean I'm gonna do it just because I'm a part of that family. Just because everybody in the family get in their feelings and they don't want to forgive people don't mean that's what I'm going to do just because I'm in the family. This is where we get stuck and stagnated with these words, generational curses. Now, you can choose not to do whatever you choose not to do. It does not have to mean that just because Uncle Bobo and them did it, you got to do it. When you come into your real mind and your right mind to understand from Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh and the works of the spirit, then you won't walk in those works. When you look at even the fruit of the spirit, what I'm often reminded of is in Genesis. I love the book of Genesis. And in the beginning with Adam and Eve, the Bible clearly states, and I have a book available on Amazon as well. It's called Deliver Us from All Evil. In that book, I talk about the fruit of the spirit because the fruit was in the garden in the beginning. Now, the Bible never gives a description. For many years, people said it was an apple. But the Bible never, ever, ever gave a description of what fruit. But in my revelatory interpretation of studying the book of Genesis, the fruit to me was a character. Oh, God help me today. And the character determined by the conduct of Adam and Eve. And when God said upon this tree, so on that tree to me biblically represents human beings. And the fruit represent the character of the human being. And he said to them that when you partake of this tree, your eyes will be open and you will know good from evil. Oh, God, help me today. Now you get a little clearer understanding. We started in the beginning and now those same things occur as Paul write in Galatians, the fruit of the spirit. And this is what Paul says. When you operate in the fruits of the spirit, this is the way you supposed to live and practice every day. And it doesn't matter what your mama did, your daddy did, your brothers, your sisters. If you operate in the fruit of the spirit, then you won't get in the danger zone like Adam and Eve did in the beginning. Oh, God, help me today. And when you start operating in the flesh, well, when you continue, because we all come in the form of the flesh and our spirits are going to be subjected to the form of the flesh until we get delivered. Until we are taught, until we have a clear understanding. In the next series, what I want to do is go through dissecting the works of the flesh. And according to my recall, there are 17 works of the flesh. I will be coming from one of my books that I dissected these works. And I would like you all to really absorb why it is so important that you really dissect every one of these fruits. I mean, every one of these works of the flesh. And when I use the word fruits, that's meaning more than one character. But each fruit is within itself. Oh, I hope somebody grabbed that. When you combine them together, it's more than one. So we know that's just simply in our English, American English language, that only means plural, more than one. But each fruit has its own individual conduct and character that should align us through our lives. Now, I'm going to read to you where I'm going to start with this series, what the scripture says and the 17 works of the flesh. I'm not going to begin dissecting them in this segment, but I will share with you the works of the flesh. When Paul lists the works of the flesh, they are listed between verses 19 and 21. And they are listed as the behaviors that would prevent us as individuals from inheriting the kingdom of God. And what it says, now the works of the flesh are evidence. And some Bibles may say manifest. That means the same. It's proof. Evidence is proof that you can see it. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit shared with me years ago in absorbing and reading and studying these fruits is that you cannot hide them. Paul writes that from the beginning. When you get in your feelings thinking people telling your business are talking about you, I already know those are people who are so void of understanding. Because when you live in your flesh, you don't have no business. Oh, God, help me today. Your business is exposed for everybody to see your nakedness. The only thing is, the reason why some people just may not tell you what they see, and some people not bold enough to just tell you, oh, I see you is butt naked walking down the street. People living lives, just because somebody don't call out what they see does not mean they don't see it. And when you look at the works of anybody's flesh, if you paying attention, unless you walking around and you have eyes to see but you can't see, and ears to hear but you don't hear, then that's the only way you gonna be so dumb-dumb-dumb-dumb-founded till you can't see what the real deal. Like they say, you can't see the forest for the trees. Because the works of the flesh are manifest. That's the most important thing you need to get and grab about doing what you do in the flesh. Somebody see you. It is not hidden. And there's nothing hidden from God. He always sees us. This is why I get so behooved when people think it's okay to act ugly and act out. No, you are being somebody see you. Somebody know you. Somebody see that they can't trust your spirit. This is not because somebody trying to pick you out to pick on you. This is based on the evidence. Oh, God, help me today. This is based on the manifestation of what you show people. This is nothing hidden. This is nothing that people got to pick you out to pick on you. This is stuff you show people about your own self and your own life. Now, what the problem is, you got a lot of people that don't pay attention. But just because of people or other people's don't pay attention does not mean it's not manifest. It does not mean there's not evidence of these works being taken place in your life. Now, the works of the flesh are evidence. That means you got proof, baby. It can be seen. Is nobody going to sit in a court and come up and say, this is Exhibit A evidence. You're going to see. They're going to hold it up for you to see it. And everything we do in our flesh, somebody sees it. God always sees it. And believe me, other people who paying attention, who eyes are open, who has eye, who spiritual enlightenment, the eyes of their heart is open, they can see it. And sometimes seeing when things, the eyes of your heart is open, sometimes it's not even about what you visibly see. It's what your heart will confirm. My God. The works of the flesh are evidence. Number one, sexual immorality. Number two, impurity. Number three, sensuality. Number four, idolatry. Number five, sorcery. Number six, enmity. Number seven, strife. Number eight, jealousy. Number nine, fits of anger. Number 10, rivalries. Number 11, dissensions. Number 12, divisions. Number 13, envy. Number 14, drunkenness. Number 15, orgies. And things like these. No, it should be 17. But this is I'm reading them from a new version. I should have read them from the King James Version. But I'm going to go into each one of them from my book. But I wanted you to understand that by human nature, all of us can be guilty of executing a plan where we operate in our flesh. But the most important thing is, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to stay in our flesh? Well, I say for myself, absolutely not. I want to fulfill the fruit of the Spirit. And Paul goes on to write, this is the most important part. He said, I warn you as I warned you before. Therefore, this stuff that you're hearing me say, it's not new. Your mama and them probably taught it to you and told you not to do these things from a little child. And Paul said, I warn you as I warned you before that those who do such things, this is the part you really need to get, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm going to tell you something for real. When I first remember reading this, I said, well, God, if we do all those things and it keeps us out of heaven, because that's what that means, we will not inherit the kingdom of God, because we want to inherit the kingdom of heaven, which is the kingdom of God. So that means, God, if I operate in the works of these flesh and I practice doing these things, I'm going to hell. Wonder why so many people think when they say rest in heaven or heavenly birthdays, and you found people that operate in the works of the flesh when they left here, how they gonna be in heaven? Oh, I hope somebody heard me. Those were the things that caused my life to begin to shift and be converted and to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I have to give myself a checklist. I have a chronological checklist. And I make sure to practice checking off the works of my flesh. I make comparison with the fruit of my spirit in order to be able to decide to make sure I'm doing everything possible to not miss heaven and end up in hell. You know, to me, and I'm at this place in my life right now, and I hope many of you, if you're not at this place, that you're seeking to get to this place. When it comes to me now, what matters most to me with people are three things: spirit, soul, and salvation. Those three S's. Spirit, soul, and salvation. I'm not caught up on people's cars, what they dress like, where they work, what's their acclimates. That's that type of excitement. And I know to some people it may seem like I don't have compassion, but I, for things of that nature, all that, I don't need to have compassion about, because it has nothing to do with your spirit. And many of those things has nothing even to do with Jesus Christ. I'm just saying. People can say it's about Christ, but it don't have anything to do with Christ, because Christ didn't even want people to bring attention to him if we actually operating in the mind of Christ. He didn't want that attention. He would tell people, don't tell nobody, not go shout it from the rooftop, not put me all on Front Street for it to dangle me for everybody to know and see. I know I'm a prophet. I know I'm God's only begotten son. I know that I can raise people from the dead. I know I can heal the sick from leprosy. I know I have the power to do all these things. But listen, even when I do them, don't tell nobody. And those are the spirits that you know operate in humility. They're not looking for people to boost them and brag on them. Oh, God, help me today. When God dealt with me with that thing, and that's why no matter what I do for somebody, I let them know, listen, you don't have to tell nobody, and you don't have to keep thanking me. If I did it from my heart to help you, just honor me with whatever you agreed to do. That's my whole thing. Just honor me. That's what I appreciate. You keep your word. If I kept my word, you keep your word. That's what I appreciate. All that other stuff, because I tell people, don't nothing impress me but a person who can honor what they say. Because a lot of these things and types and titles people got over their name, they don't come with no honorary. I'm just saying. Because they can't keep God's word. And when people to me, now I'm just saying to me, if you can't keep God's word, then I don't expect you to keep your word. Because it's not an easy thing to do. Listen to me. We're talking about the flesh and the spirit. And when people cannot control their flesh, I just read 17 works of them. They cannot convince our freedom. I'm just talking about me. Because see, my eyes are wide open. They cannot convince me to be impressed by their honorary. When you can't honor God, I go back. Let me repeat this. The only thing impress Alfreda, if people think I don't understand. Do you all understand that? Why is it folks be trying to impress people anyway? But you got some people, they really try to go all out to impress people. They will go broke trying to impress people. They will go all out their way trying to impress people. And it has nothing to do with Jesus. And let me tell you, I like nice things. I like to be clean when I walk out my house. But I'm not trying to impress people. I'm really not. I'm no longer that person. I've been delivered. What matters most to me about anybody is a spirit, a soul, and salvation. And I'm going to preach that from now moving forward to Jesus take the breath out of my life. Because really and truly, you all, when I've been saying for years, I know people hear and they don't hear, because people have a tendency to internalize you from an allegory place. And it's based upon their own perception. But if people have listened to me, but they, you know, and really trying to get to know me, I tell people early on, I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed with what kind of car people drive, what type of house they live in. Listen, why I'm not impressed? Because to me, if you put your money to invest it to buy it, I know people with, when I say mini mansions, Maseratis, I'm not impressed. Because, and listen to me, I'm gonna tell you why I'm not impressed. Because those are some people who have obtained those things from working the works of the flesh. Okay? They obtained them that way. To me, anything your money can buy, you can obtain. I'm not saying that people don't have testimonies on how they couldn't get these things unless God miraculously moved. That's a testimony. But just because God miraculously moved upon material things don't mean we have to be impressed with it. I'm just saying I'm impressed with the soul, the spirit, and the salvation of a person, not material things. Real quick, I read something the other day. Somebody put on Facebook. And I'm going to try to recall a little bit of it because I know I can't remember all of it. But it said, when we came into this world, we came naked. And when we leave this world, we're going to leave it naked. And when you came into this world, you didn't have any material things that you brought. And when you leave this world, you're not going to have any material things that you take with you and know it. And they went on to keep making a parallel between when you came into this world and when you leave this world. Everything in between is to be enjoyed. And it's okay whether you get it through the testimony of God blessing you, or you go out there and you hustle, or you work, howsoever you end up with your material possessions, you will not take them with you. Period, point blank. And I think sometimes the absorption of people putting so much emphasis in the material things. It's what makes me really be turned off, because it's just material things and you cannot take them with you. They are meant to be enjoyed while we live. And if you're able to enjoy the fruits of your labor, that's what you're supposed to do. And why sometimes people really overemphasize things that God already said we are supposed to do. We are supposed to enjoy the fruits of our labor. That's nothing new under the sun. And you got some people, they will brag and on and on and on and on. They be bragging. It's not about, oh, like some people like to say, well, the Lord bless me. Okay, and he does. But you don't need to keep sounding the trumpet. And when you tell people that as the truth, you know, they get right offended. I said to a lady years ago, this lady, they was talking about a house. I said, you know what, and that's a beautiful thing. But God been blessing people with houses and cars and land. And some of people, I know some people, I'm telling you, that they didn't even have to do nothing. But they didn't walk around the world constantly talking about it like it was something that God could only do for them. And when I talk like that, a lot of time people get offended. But I'm just saying, because you can listen to a spirit. I'm trying to get you to understand how to get delivered. You can listen to a spirit for so long that boast and brag about stuff, and it no longer is a testimony. It's a comparison to say, oh, this is what God did for me. And that's it, they kind of try to put it on a scale. See, this that subconscious stuff you got to pay attention to. To say, I'm more holy. That's why God did this for me. Because I'm in a holier place than thou. But they don't understand, drug dealers buy houses. It don't have nothing to do with because a person is more holier. Or they got a closer walk with God. When God gives us testimonies, it is to keep the light on him. To tell people about the power of God. Not the position that we're in. Oh, I hope somebody grabbed that. But if you look around, that's why you see so much vanity. That's what Solomon calls it. Vanity. And it begins to sound like a vexation of a spirit. When people talk about all the time the type of car they have, the type of house they got, oh, how they got it. And sometimes I just listen and don't listen. Because it's like, are you just not used to things or what? Because people been buying houses. People been buying cars. Some doors God opened and some doors the devil opened. I'm just saying, he do. I've seen it happen. But you are supposed to enjoy the fruit of your labor. That's why we plant seeds. Because we know that whatever way we plant seeds, if it's on good ground, it's going to grow. Those are things that I believe is most important. Our soul, our spirit, and our salvation. And on that note, may the blessings from heaven flow down into your lives. I really didn't expect to go to this extended version because I'm going to be shortening in the new studio. They have now placed restrictions. Well, not restrictions, let me say prices. You have to pay to produce your podcast if you go over a certain amount of time. And for all you regular listeners, you all know that's going to be God's way of reordering and redirecting my steps, because now I'm going to be under 10 minutes moving forward. So I have to strategize. I will be under 10 minutes because if you go over 5 hours a month, they will be charging you. So in order to stay on the free plan, I will have to strategize my contents to be under 10 minutes. So hang in here with me. I won't be lengthy anymore. I will be doing 10-minute segments, and I will let you know how many times a week in order to stay under. I said 5 days a week at 10 minutes should cover me for, less than under 5 hours a month. But either way it go, I will continue to engage. They actually have some great, great tools, some new tools that work with and in the studio. You can now do it visually and audially at the same time, or choose just the audio. It's great. I went in, peeped around, looked around, and I'm really excited. And again, I will be coming forth with much smaller messages. But just because something is smaller doesn't mean it's not stronger or more meaningful. There's a reminder of a prayer when a cousin said to me, and I think she said she heard it from T.D. Jakes, and he said, you don't have to have a long prayer, but a strong prayer. I said, that's good. I like that. You don't need to have a long message, but a strong message. Oh, I hope somebody grabbed that. And that's what I plan to do moving forward. And again, may the blessings from heaven flow, flow, flow down into your lives. Meet all of your needs, even the things your heart desires, which I hope it is to come in on this series of breaking down the works of the flesh. So there's 17 works. That means 17 days. I will cover one work per day within that 10 minutes. Amen. And hopefully we'll get to this place of understanding how we can inherit the kingdom of God by avoiding these works of the flesh. Amen. God, continuous blessings. I love you always. And I want to thank each and every person. Thank you who attended the class, each person that attended. I want to thank you. I appreciate you. The class on April 30th this year, May 7th, and May 14th. If you came in one or all, I want to thank you very much for your participation. Please reach out to me. My contact information is on social media. You can always go to the website, wdgs.org. And on that website, you can send me an email, because I do have a gift for all participants. Some participants I don't know how to reach. But if you have an email address, I have a prayer, a declare and decree the day prayer. And I also have a vision journal that you can receive downloaded directly to your email for yourself. If you were a participant in the class, please reach out to me, let me know, and I will get that information to you. It is absolutely free. Okay? God bless. Have a great day, and bye for now.